Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. It's Rodney joined by Will and Cole. Hello, boys.
Not here.
Hello.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Cole. All right, so today we're going to talk about the various news that dropped this week, including Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the Microsoft bringing Xbox Game Pass to PC with a lot of titles, and we're going to talk about Pokemon Sleep as well. All that snoring coming up right now. All right, gentlemen. So, Modern Warfare. I feel like we've heard that before. Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Where have we heard that before?
I don't know, like 15 years
ago.
I've
never heard of this.
Yeah, 15 years ago when Call of Duty was actually good.
You hate Call of Duty. Have you always hated Call of Duty? Or just recently?
But I'm allowed to hate Call of Duty because I've played most of the Call of Duty games.
I have too, but the
last
one.
That's like saying I'm allowed to eat ice cream because I've had every type of flavor.
That makes no sense.
You're fat.
That makes no sense.
I was just trying to throw in a simile there.
Okay. So, Modern Warfare set to come out October 25th. It seems the shift seems to be aimed regaining some of the grit and at times controversial appeal of the original Modern Warfare franchise, which mixed action movie theatrics with more political awareness plot lines. Starting with 2007's Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, the series set itself apart as one willing to take risks, like the disturbing No Russian terrorism scene in Modern Warfare 2. Yeah, that one was fucking interesting.
No Russian.
That urged players to take part in the airport civilian massacre or the various instances where players were put into the shoes of the victims at nuclear attacks unfolding in real time. I think that was Call of Duty 3 maybe, where you're the sniper dude? Or was that Black Ops?
You're a sniper dude in almost every single
Call of Duty. But there was the one in the I think you're wearing a ghillie suit and you go up into the tower and you shoot that dude's arm off?
That's the first Modern Warfare? No. What was the one before that?
That was Call of Duty 3. It was 3, I think.
Oh, okay. Fuck it. I didn't realize I played 3.
No, it was not 3. It was the first Modern Warfare. Yeah, the first Modern Warfare. Had to hunt down that guy and you...
No, because the Modern Warfare, your character was Soap, remember?
Soap? What a fucking dumb fucking name that is. I don't care if that's a code name.
Soap McTavish.
Soap.
I like
he's
Soap.
Cleaning up the streets.
I was just trying to Google which one it was, and I Googled Modern Warfare 3, and I totally just remembered, I forgot that Modern Warfare 3 was even a thing.
Yeah, it went all the way to 4? No, it went to 3, right?
Yeah, 3.
Was it 3 or 4?
This would be 4.
Okay.
But they're basically,
this would be 4.
They're basically reskinning it now, and I'm hoping that they're going to fix the problems that most new Call of Duties have, which is repetitive fucking rehash bullshit.
I mean, it definitely looks like it's got a new revamp to it. Like, it, It's funny how it looks exactly the same, but it seems like something's different. Yeah, when you say going back to the roots, I think it definitely did. As long as they're in space and Kit Harington's in it, I'm in, 100%. If that's not happening, then I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, they released Black Ops 4, didn't have a campaign, and let's be honest, I play the campaign, like when I buy Call of Duty games, that's what I do. Campaign, and then I play multiplayer, and I get frustrated, make it to level 30, and then quit. That's basically my standard procedure for all Call of Duty games. So,
do you guys have a friend who would just, like, that's all they would do? And they would be like, join my clan, and you'd have to, like, go and train clans with them, and it would be, or, like, train in clan things, and it was just the most boring thing ever?
Yeah.
Was I the only one that got suckered into that? You did, Will?
Yeah.
You were Hey, Brittany was in a clan in Black Ops 2.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, tell us about Brittany and the clan.
Well, if anyone who knows my wife, she likes her way. So when they were being fucking trolls, that didn't go over so well. But yeah, she started playing Black Ops 2 and was in a clan for a couple months. And then I met her and she quit playing video games altogether. So that's just my life.
Everybody who meets Rodney just wants to stop playing video games. I mean, talking about video games with Rodney just makes anybody want to quit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's made me play more.
Now you're addicted. Play more. You're playing Monster Hunter World on PlayStation with Mark.
I am.
That would make me want to... No, actually, that sounds pretty fun.
You just made him sound like such a piece of shit. Like, you're playing Monster World now on PlayStation.
On PlayStation 4? Like, that's... Get it for PC, man. Get it for Xbox. But PlayStation 4?
And worst of all, you playing with Mark.
Get it for Wii U.
Yeah, anything Mark's but struggling.
It's a tough game. That's a really... I mean, it's got a huge difficulty curve to it.
Yeah, I just hit the harder things now after you beat Zora Magdaros.
Dude, it just keeps going. Like, it never stops. And I mean, but Iceborne? Iceborne looks dope. I'm so excited.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a huge expansion towards the game.
Yeah. Good stuff. Iceborne. I love some of the ice level, or the ice ones in the last Monster Hunter were so much fun. So I'm soaked for this one. Soaked, not even stoked. I'm soaked.
You mean you're soaked?
I'm soaked. Bringing us back, Will's reeling us back into Modern Warfare here.
Cole soiled his panties, and with on that note, Modern Warfare. I don't know if I'm going to soil my panties over this one. I might just wait and see what it has to offer before I go pick it up. Maybe the beta will come out, and I'll try it out and see if I like it.
Oh,
go ahead, Will.
The one thing I will say is this is the first Call of Duty in about a decade that I've actually been kind of interested in.
Yeah.
That you've, like, stopped and watched the trailer when you've seen it, and you're like, oh, I'm going to watch this trailer.
Yeah.
Instead of just completely disregarding it entirely.
Yeah. Modern Warfare was my favorite. I really enjoyed how it got, like, the game got political. There is terrorism. There is nuclear war. And I played it with my friends over and over.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Will likes terrorism, nuclear war, and with his friends. But yeah, no, I mean, that's the realism, you know, it's like...
Sounds like I could be a future politician.
You could make those gas prices go up.
We don't need help doing that.
Yeah, they're already fucking high. I don't know about the rest of the world, and here in Canada, we measure our gasoline in liters per price per liter, not per gallon, whatever the fuck that is. I saw the funniest fucking meme on the internet. This is funny because most of our demographic are Americans, but it said when an American comes into Canada and they see that the speed is in kilometers per hour instead of football fields per Fahrenheit, it's like, what the fuck is this, man?
That's pretty funny.
Oh, it was dumb. Anyways, I forgot where I was going with this. Yeah, so gas up here is one... 161 or 2 a liter, which is expensive as fuck.
Yeah, that's like how many liters are in a gallon?
Four liters in a gallon. Yeah.
So that's like what? That's like $4. That's more than $4 a gallon.
5 gallons is 18.1 liters or 18.9 liters.
If you need your gallons to liters figured out, you come to the Video Games Now podcast, and we'll figure it out for you.
Yeah.
That's what we do here.
So how excited for Modern Warfare are you, Will, on the gallons to liters scale?
I'll give it a 7.
7 liters or 7 gallons? Answer. That's a substantial difference.
I'll give it 3 American football fields out of 5 Fahrenheit.
All right, that sounds groovy.
Did anything stand out from the trailer for me? I'm just rewatching the trailer. I'm seeing if there's anything that looks super interesting.
Looks like we have the same characters as the original.
It also looks like it is very political. I mean, there's like a scene where there's a bunch of people in the streets around. What is that called? Building, like kind of how the states have their own buildings in different countries, and I'm blanking on it.
Oh, it's you're talking about the yeah. I know what you're talking about. Fuck, I can't.
You know what I'm talking about, but I can't think of the
word. It starts with an E, right? Something.
Yeah, exactly.
Embassy.
Yeah.
Embassy. Thank you.
Embassy. Yeah, like an embassy, and there's people surrounding the embassy, and they're like dragging people out of there, and it looks like there's like an explosion, and people are all getting covered in dust, and.
Oh, well, that movie plot's been overdone.
Hey, I mean, if something's done well, even if it's been done a bunch, it can still be good.
I just watched.
Like, me defending Modern Warfare.
I just watched John Wick for the first time last night, and I'm thoroughly impressed.
Oh yeah. Oh, I heard the choreography was great.
Dude,
I haven't seen it yet, though.
It like breaks the mold of generic action movies.
No, yeah. I think Rodney's saying he just finally watched the first one.
Yes.
Oh, you watched the first
the
one?
The first one. Because I haven't seen John Wick, and I remember Brian was just fucking going off the rails about how great John Wick 3 looks. So I'm like, I better watch the first John Wick. Get on the
and
fucking
the second John Wick.
Yeah.
Is great. 3 is even better. It just, the action doesn't stop. It doesn't slow down.
Yeah, that's what a friend of ours was saying. He's just like, it just keeps going. Like, it starts with him running. Yeah, I won't ruin it for you, Rodney, but I mean, at the end of the second one, he's got to run, and it like picks up right where the second one ends, and he just runs for the entire movie.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a fucking beast. He's a fucking beast. It's great.
I like Keanu. I'm a huge Keanu fan.
Like, he did a really good fucking job, too, in that movie. Like,
I know Kung Fu. I love him in interviews because he's as awkward in interviews as he is while he's in acting. Like, while he's acting, he's just so awkward, and that's what I love it. I mean, like, you could make him do anything, and it doesn't matter how good or how bad he is, I will love it. I will love every word that comes out of his mouth.
My favorite scene in that whole movie was when they called the mechanic dude. He's like, I heard you punched my son. He's like, yeah, he stole John Wick's car. He's like, oh.
And don't forget, and killed his dog.
Yeah, and killed his
dude,
dog.
That scene was rough. I mean, we're like, everybody for years have been talking about how rough that scene is, but beagles are my favorite. Is it a beagle that he has? I think it is.
A beagle, yeah.
A beagle puppy? Yeah. Beagles are my favorite dogs, and that just like tore my heart out.
You know what? We should do an upcoming podcast, speaking of like stuff like that, with like favorite emotional moments in games.
That's a good idea.
Oh, I was about to say one, but I'll wait. You gotta wait now, everybody.
Cool.
Cole's probably got like 40 lined up, so
I cry
it'll be
all
a good show.
Yeah. I cry significantly all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll ruin one for you. When I first started playing Far Cry 3, I got emotional just how much fun I was having. I was literally like, I was crying over how much fun it was.
Oh.
I was just in tears, just covered. Snot everywhere. It's because I loved number 2, and number 3 just like amped it up.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. That bow and arrow. Ugh.
And then you played Primal and you got a fucking big boner kill.
Yeah, I didn't play Primal. I saw that and I was like, looks interesting, but we'll skip. Skip.
Yep. Anyways, back to things that matter.
But does Modern Warfare matter? That is the question.
We should say back to Modern Warfare rather than back to things that matter.
Well, I was waiting for you for your snarky fucking response, Cole, Mr. Wizard.
I was going to give you one, and then I held back because I thought I was being too mean in the last couple ones.
Oh, dude, look at how much we tear Mark apart on the podcast. I don't give a shit.
I love Mark. But he's, I call him Mark Apocalypse now, because when he gets angry, he just goes off the rail, and it is so funny. He's the Mark Apocalypse.
Again, smashing Mark for probably the 50th time in a 67 episode podcast, but my favorite thing was when Mark was playing Smash Bros. At Jason's house. Just the video, his facial expressions were priceless. Anyways, so Call of Duty Modern Warfare is a tense and daring reboot of the beloved shooter series. So it's like the Star Fox Zero to Star Fox 64.
Yeah, I really wanted to play Star Fox Zero, and then I didn't.
Well, I played the first two missions and got kind of bored, to be honest.
Yeah, and I don't like the fact how you have to, like, buy those pieces to hook onto your ship. Like, I mean, I love the customization, but I don't want to have to buy extra pieces.
Are you thinking of Star Fox, or are you thinking of Starlink? Because I think you're thinking of Starlink.
Oh, I'm thinking of... I was thinking of Starlink. Not Star Fox Zero, which is what you're talking about.
Yes. So, anyway... What did you... Let's start with Cole. What did you like about past Call of Duty games that you want to continue to see in this one? And which items do you want to see disappear?
Ooh. I mean, I hate, like, when it gets... It's tough to keep things fresh. You know, like 100%. But like when they got to like the wall bouncing and the like the jetpacks and the rocket packs, I mean, it was like fun at first. But I think other games like Titanfall 2 and these other shooters do it so much better, where I think Modern Warfare should just stick to like run and gun.
Yeah, that's pretty much it is. Yeah.
And I mean, I played the most like online Call of Duty I played, I think, was Modern Warfare 2. And so anything similar to that, like I love the simplicity, like the guns they were using was like the A4, the M1A4, mm-hmm. I think it was like the very first unlockable gun you had, and like the shotguns and everything. I don't know, everything just felt so good and very, it felt modern, where the new Modern Warfare is where you're like getting these like laser guns and stuff. It's just, I don't know, it's too much.
That's too futuristic.
Modern Warfare in the future. I don't know. It just, that was a little bit too much for me. And I like, but I mean, a lot of people cater towards that. Not me though. I like, I like it nice and simple. And
yeah. In the new games, I'm just sick of getting lightsaber guns that shoot about 15,000 football fields per Fahrenheit.
Bang, bang.
So, anyways, so yeah, I mean, I agree 100% with what you just said.
I also, when it goes to the campaign, like, I mean, I really like the story, like the characters like Soap and McTavish and stuff. I thought those were so good, but I mean, in the new ones, when they're getting like all these mocap, like, wasn't Kevin Spacey one of the villains in one of the Modern Warfares? I know I already made a Kit Harington joke because he was the villain in the other one, and I don't know. It's just weird when you're fighting Jon Snow in space.
I don't know actually if Kevin Spacey was in
Duty.
Yeah, he was.
Villains. Yeah, because I mean, like the villains, like.
It was Call of Duty Future something, or Call of Duty
Advanced Warfare.
Yeah, there it is. Advanced Warfare.
Call of Duty Future. That's fucking funny.
Yeah, Jonathan Irons. I mean, at this time in his career, I think everybody wants to shoot a little bit at Kevin Spacey. And Kevin Spacey wants to shoot a little bit at you too, boys. Sorry, that was
I thought that was going to go somewhere else.
I was going to take it there, but I held back.
Okay, good.
Good, I want to
be invited
worried.
Back eventually.
I'm sure everyone figured it out by now. But yeah, I kind of want the level system to be somewhat overhauled. I just find it too easy to level up in a way. Like, and then
man, that must be really bad. I found it so hard to level up.
No, it's
maybe I suck at Call of Duty.
Oh, possibly, but yeah, I mean. You took a long time to level up, or sorry, not a lot to level up, and then you would get to level 65, and then it's like, oh, prestige. I think prestige is the dumbest fucking thing ever. Like, I fucking cannot stand prestige.
Yeah, like when I was playing, what was the first game that had prestige? That was Call of Duty, the one in Vietnam, the one where Nazi zombies was the first Modern Warfare,
Black Ops one,
World at War.
That was in Vietnam.
No, it was World at War. So, I mean, it was all over the place. I'm just thinking of the Vietnam levels.
Oh, okay.
Or the ones, it was in Japan. It was in Japan where you're fighting the Japanese dudes in the trees and with the flamethrower.
Right, yeah.
But
yeah.
That confused me so much because that was the first time I played Call of Duty online and I made it to level, I think it was 50 then. And then when it was like prestige and I clicked on it and I lost everything, I was like so confused. I was a little child. I was like, oh, my work, all my hours of playing, gone. For what, one little badge? One little badge.
Yeah.
And then you have to do it 10 times?
Yeah, like, fuck off. And then you get basically nothing for it, from what I understand. I don't know, Will, am I wrong?
I never really played too much of the competitive Call of Duty after Modern Warfare, and even then I just wasn't into it. For competitive shooters, it's always been Halo.
Yeah, and I was actually going to bring up Halo's leveling up system, especially in Reach, because I hate the new leveling up system. Where the fuck did the music go, boys? What happened? We're losing it.
Hey, I'm not on music, Will.
We're musicless.
That's me. There we go. Fantastic world. Anyways, so what I don't like about the new system is it just gives you a fucking number. It's like, oh, you're SR rank 31. Well, fucking, who fucking cares? Like, I want to be, like, when someone's like, oh, I'm a Brigadier General, it's like, you sound fucking intimidating as shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm SR 50. And? Like, so, anyways,
hey, man, if I was on the battlefield and a dude just grabbed me and he's like, oh, I'm SR 50, I'd probably pee my pants. I'm just kidding.
I don't think he'd say his rank.
I'm SR 50. Get out of my way, SR 31.
Get out of my way, 31. 50 coming through.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
Yeah, but but in Reach, there was actual ranks, and what they did was they kind of spread it out a bit. So, like, for example, Warrant Officer, they would split it into three grades. I don't know if they do that in Call of Duty. I can't remember, but
I think they do. I'm pretty sure they do.
Anyway, yeah, so as soon as you're a Warrant Officer, you level up, then you're Warrant Officer 2, and then you're Warrant Officer 3, and that spread the ranks out, so, like, when you finally made it to, like, Major, you're like, fuck, that was a grind, but I'm a Major now. And then you'd see someone who's, I can't remember what the most, it was a Reclaimer, that was the highest rank you can get, and you literally needed to get, like, a ridiculous amount of experience to even fucking...
Like,
get there.
All the experience you've just gotten to get there again, to get to the next one.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up, because it was fucking ridiculous. I put a lot of hours into Reach, and I only made it to Brigadier General. Like, it was fucked.
Oh, that's what you talk about, how cool Brigadier General is.
Yeah, because I'm fucking cool, okay? Me, 10 years ago, playing this game, so fucking cool. Halo Reach ranks. Ranks. List.
While you're looking this up, I'm just having a little jam fest to this music. And now it's gone.
It's gone. And if you guys checked out the last stream on the last podcast, I did a live stream for everybody, so you can see what it's like to be a Patreon. And then hopefully,
so hot right now, Rodney. So hot right now.
But I did a little dancey dance on that video. So if you guys are interested,
I remember seeing that.
Yeah, and you didn't even comment. Jesus Christ, Gold. All right, so
I've never commented on a YouTube video in my entire life, and I watch a lot of YouTube.
Yeah. So, holy shit, this proves how much Halo I played. Like, fuck. So, to get to Brigadier... Oh, I was just a Brigadier. I wasn't even a Brigadier General. So, I was just a Brigadier. Grade 3, you need 1.7 million experience.
How much experience you get for kill? Per kill?
Per match, you might get... like 600 to 1,000. Yeah,
I'd make it there in an afternoon. Brigadier General.
Anyways, and then so the biggest rank you can get is Inheritor. Actually, it's 20 million experience.
All right, that's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like when you saw Inheritor, you're like, I'm gonna get fucked up by this dude. He's gonna
he's just sitting on a pail in his room. If you're eating, you're not playing Halo. Yeah. If you're getting up to go to the bathroom, you're not playing Halo.
And just the fucking experience gap between these ranks is just ridiculous. Like, okay, so to make it to General, it's 2 million experience, and then you need 200,000 to upgrade again, and then another 150, and then another 250. And then basically to get out of General, to get to the Field Marshal, you need a full million. And then it just goes up from there. From Reclaimer, which is the second highest, you need 16.5 million, and to Inheritor, to 20 million. So you need 3.5 million experience to level up.
Let's do it, boys. Let's do the Inheritor challenge. Well, the three of us will take a week and just become Inheritors.
Well, sure. I'm going to tell you right now, I played for like a week straight pretty much once, and I'm still Brigadier. So it takes a long fucking time.
Let's start a clan with Brittany. And she'll be our clan leader, and she'll whip us up there. She'll whip us up to Inheritor.
Yeah, so I don't mean to this extent, because fucking 20 million experience takes a long time, but you know, something like that, something where it's like, oh, that guy's a, you know, general, five-star general or something, like he's fucking been playing a long time, and it should give you really, really good rewards that aren't just cosmetic shit, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, besides cosmetics, what can you really give?
Well,
I mean, I think Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 had a little bit of that problem, like you had to unlock guns, but it was also like, I don't know, there was like limited time to do it. I think Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 played around with that, and I don't know exactly how well it worked unless you also dumped a bunch of time into it.
No, I can't say I did. I dumped a lot of time into World at War. On the Wii, mind you. That was a good time.
Yeah. That was a disappointment.
The game.
I got that for the Wii, and I was like, I'm so excited to unlock zombies. And once you get to the end, it's just like, thanks for playing Call of Duty. And I was like,
All right, moving on from Cole's utter disappointment with Call of Duty on the Wii, let's talk about Death Stranding and a new game from Kojima.
And some fitting music for the Death Stranding. Fucking Sonic!
When you say from Kojima, I love the fact that when I watch a trailer for this game, there's just like Japanese dudes in like business suits, like being all super serious and being like, he should have baby and smoke baby and go to uni. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just think of these, like, old, these, like, Japanese businessmen coming up with this game. It makes me so excited.
Yeah. Cole, you've watched the trailer, the newest trailer again.
Oh, and, yeah, I watched
Rodney,
that.
You've watched last year's one, I'm sure. Again. Yep. Like, I still don't understand what this game's about.
It like at first when I first saw it, like I had no interest in it, and then my interest was kind of like tickled a little bit, and then it, like we heard like nothing from it, it just disappeared, and I kind of lost. But after watching this trailer and seeing like some of the mocap in it and some of the gameplay, I'm actually back on the train. This looks pretty exciting.
Yeah, it looks great. It's being developed on the brand new Decima engine, which I don't know too much about. It's a new engine from, 4K Dynamics. It's developed by Guerrilla Games and Kojima Productions. So, just a new engine for games, I guess, moving into the generation.
Of, like, but, mocap. Like, I mean, there's this variety of games that are, like... Did you guys play that one that came out with the rats? Oh, my God, what was it called? I played the whole thing and I can't remember what it's called now.
Plague Tale? The brain, the game.
Yeah, Plague Tale. Yeah, did you guys play Plague Tale?
No, I haven't yet.
No? I bought it like the day it came out. It kind of looked interesting, and then I saw it was like released in about an hour, and I was like, oh, I'm going to buy it. And it's like, it's very story-based and like all mo-capped, kind of like The Last of Us or like Uncharted series kind of deal. And that's like a new type of game that's been popping up more and more. So maybe it's an engine to help out with those.
Yeah. Mocap seems to be what we're focusing more on this generation, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and I mean, it looks great. Like, I mean, it's definitely, everything looks much more realistic. And I mean, the one thing they had to get over was like the facial expressions. Like, the face has always looked so, no matter like how much mouth moving or anything like that, like the eyes, they just could not figure out, at least for me, it was the eyes. The eyes just always looked dead and like lifeless, and I think they're starting to figure that out, which is really bringing stuff to life. They haven't quite nailed it, but they're getting there.
Well, it's also it's also the tech too. Like, yeah, we have the technology to do motion capture, but
have to animate it.
Yeah, and there was only so many points that they could capture, right? Like, now they're like, if you look at a motion capture actor now, he's got so many fucking motion tracking dots on his face, it's crazy. Like, before it was, you know, maybe four down the nose and a couple on the cheeks and under the eyes and stuff like that to catch those key spots. Yeah. But now it's like all over the place. It's getting every muscle that moves in your face.
Yeah, which is, you know, like that's next gen.
Yeah.
And so we're finally getting to the point where that's going to look good. And I can tell, at least looking at Death Stranding, you can basically get a feeling of it just watching a movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I kind of almost get like a Dead Space feel too from watching it, like watching like the inventory system. Like, it's like Sam, who's Norman Reeves, you can, in the like the 8 minute trailer, you can kind of see the inventory system. He's like looking at the baby. I mean, I'm guessing it's like an inventory system. Maybe it's part of a cutscene, but he's like almost looking at the baby in a bag on the wall and kind of messing around with it. And like,
yeah,
that was a super cool thing on Dead Space, is how they had like the whole hub on like his back on, what was the guy from Dead Space's name?
Derpington, I think. I can't remember.
He had like the whole hub on his back. It seems kind of familiar like that. And that was a lot of mo-cappy looking stuff.
Now, going off this, it doesn't look like those babies that they carry are actual babies. It looks like some sort of power for his suit.
Or it appeared like in the 8 minute trailer, he's like traveling somewhere. It's like plugging into the Matrix, but you're like plugging into the thoughts or memory of these babies,
creatures,
or
yeah,
something like just from like, yeah, because like Mad Mikkelsen, who is like the man, like he's just been popping up and everything, and I love this guy. But in the trailer, he's like, he's trying to plug in, or he's trying to stay in somewhere, and it like when all these like creepy monsters or shades that are killing people, it looks like they all happen because of these babies. So,
and if you look really really closely, these little babies are just baby mocks. They just kind of lay there and complain about shit.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Feed me. Like real babies. Who needs them? Who needs them?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a very weird game, though. We've known about this game now since... when do you think it was announced, Cole?
It was originally PT, right? Like, that's what it was.
Well, no, PT was supposed to go into Silent Hill.
Yeah, PT was supposed to go in Silent Hill, but it was Norman Reedus who was playing the main character in PT, and then it got canceled, and it was by the same creator, and then they made this out of that.
You sure Norman Reedus was in PT? I thought...
100%. Look it up. Look it up, son. I'll put money down on it. If you beat PT, because remember how, like... people were like, I tried to beat PT. Like, I was in my buddy. We used to always go over to his house in his basement. He had a huge basement. We would just play games. So we played through PT and we didn't beat it, but we tried to play through it. And if you beat it, you were trapped in that house and you had to overcome the haunting. And if you left the house, like if you actually passed the haunting and passed all the tests, you would leave the house and the camera pulled out and it was Norman Reedus.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Or Norman Reedus leaving the house.
Reedus.
And then Reedus, whatever his name is, Norman. I'm going to call him Norman Boy.
Mr. Filmmaker.
And then that game got canceled. So then, what's the creator's name? I'm so bad with names.
Hideo Kojima.
Yes, he started making this because he got into a fight with the Silent Hill producers or something, whatever happened. And then he made this out of it. So, I mean, and PT was announced in, 2015? Maybe 2016?
I thought it was 15 and this game was announced in 16, but we only got a trailer with it because remember PT was being developed with a joint project with Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, and I love how Guillermo del Toro is in this as an actor. And I mean, he's huge into like all of his monster stuff. He does a lot of like live action, but he does really cool mocap monster stuff too. And his new TV series is coming out, so I'm super stoked to see him in this as well.
Yeah, so in Death Stranding, Norman Reedus is going to be playing a character named Sam Porter Bridges.
Yeah, because there's something about like Bridges industry, or there's like all this Bridges stuff that pops up in the game.
Yeah, so I wonder if he's probably the son or something of like a tycoon.
A hurricane tycoon? A roller coaster tycoon? No, I'm just kidding. Maybe. Or maybe it's him. Maybe the son doesn't always have to be the the actual creator.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I'm still like, I couldn't even begin to tell you what the hell's going on in this game. But I mean, I like the gameplay. I like the kind of like Final Fantasy third person, but like a shooter. It reminds me of like a bunch of things, like a mock-up of a bunch of games that it just... rings a bell for.
Well, you know there's going to be scares, so it kind of reminds me still of Silent Hill.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, PT was freaking terrifying. That scared the crap out of me. And if they keep anything similar to that, I'll be stoked.
Yeah.
You'll be stoked, or you'll be shitting your pants.
Both, man. I love a good scare, man. Like, I mean, if you can pull it off, that's not just like some stupid half-ass jump scare. Like, if you can actually make it something scary, I'm totally in.
Like the trailer for The Nun. that made me shit my pants. Like,
are you
full
serious?
Load.
I laughed so hard when it was like, "Wait till the end," and I was like, "Oh my god, I can't believe they did." They literally said, "Wait till the end" in the trailer, and then she like turns around, and the nun like runs in from the side, and he's gonna come from the front. Oh man, I was cry laughing at that.
Oh man, I lost half my popcorn from that.
Oh. But I mean, like, I'm like, when I was a kid, my buddy and I, we used to rent movies when we were like 11 years old. Like, we used to rent like the scariest horror movies we could. The lady behind the desk used to have to call my mom and be like, "Are you this child's mom? They're trying to like rent like Saw 5 and she's like, "Oh yeah, that's fine." And then we'd go and get Saw 5. The scariest thing that ever happened while we were watching scary movies is my cat came in and jumped on the couch on my buddy, and it like scared the shit out of him. That was the only thing scary that ever happened when we watched horror movies. We can take it all. So if this game scares me, I'll be impressed.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
I mean, I don't like scary movies myself. I will watch them. The thing that gets me is like when people start like mutilating either other humans or themselves. I can't fucking handle that.
I mean, I can watch like the Saw movies. I was totally fine with the Saw movies, but then there's like Hostel. I did not like
Hostel. Was gross.
Yeah, like when it's like what's it called? Like murder porn or whatever it's called. Like when it's just like blood and gore. You know, like when people are just like killing for just the sake of killing. I don't like that. I want it to be like there to be some story behind it or some like meaning. It can't just happen for the sake of happening.
Well, look at that. What was the movie? The Green Inferno.
I never saw The Green Inferno.
Ugh. No. Cannibalism.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not a big cannibalism guy either.
Was Cabin in the... Cabin in the Woods is a movie, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's
shot out here.
Yeah, it was also... I know a bunch of people that worked on that.
You know what, actually? I think that came out like in the early 2000s, didn't it? Or mid-2000s or something.
Oh, no, it's newer than that, dude.
Yeah, it was like 2012, 2013.
Maybe that's not the movie I'm thinking of. Anyways, there was a movie I watched that was shot in...
Cabin Fever.
One
where they come out and drink the water and it, like, your skin peels off, or they give you that flesh disease.
Yeah.
That was it.
That's the one. That was shot here, too, wasn't it?
That I don't know.
Anyways.
But yeah, Cabin Fever. That was a gnarly.
You know, why...
That doesn't scare me. That just grosses me out.
Why is it we can say that was shot here, but now, like... Other than like EA and stuff like that, we don't have too many studios where we can say, "Oh, that was developed here."
Yeah, it's. Yeah. I mean, we got lots of indie developing studios here in Vancouver, but not a whole lot of big ones. Yeah, we have Nintendo has a corporate office here, but they don't develop any games here. That's in Redmond, Washington. That's where they're.
Oh yeah, Seattle and Washington. That's a huge. Like they've got startup companies from like all over the place over there.
Yeah.
The one good thing, though, is we can say Gears of War 5 is being developed here by the Coalition.
Fuck yeah. Gears of
But I mean, if it develops here and it sucks, like, I mean, every movie that's ever been made in Vancouver is usually just terrible, but, so hopefully it's not the same for games.
That's, like, the show I work on right now. It's, like, you watch and you're like, people like this?
Yeah. Well, nobody does, but people watch it. People want to turn their brains off when they watch movies, which drives me crazy. We're going to get so sidetracked. We're already getting so sidetracked. Yeah. But I mean, like, movies where you have to think, people just hate it. That's what, like, the new Black Mirror. The second the Black Mirror started getting produced by people from the States, like North America, they've dumbed it down so much. Like, you don't even have to think about it anymore, which I hate. I hate it. I loved the British ones when it was just, like, you know, it really made you think. And now it's just...
That's like screenwriting 101. Don't assume your audience is fucking dumb.
Yeah, I mean, you can't leave everything up to the audience, and you can't leave nothing up to them.
Like that's,
so you got to find that healthy middle ground.
Yeah, like that's a really good feeling as a viewer when you figure shit out ahead of time. You're like, oh fuck, this is gonna happen, and then it happens. You're like, yeah.
True Detective season 3. Oh my god, everybody listening, everybody in the future. If it's like 100 years and we're all dead and space aliens find this, which I don't believe in aliens because I think that's friggin' ridiculous. Watch True Detective 3.
We got to have an aliens debate here, Cole.
I would be so down. I'd be 100% down to have a space aliens debate. Let's go, son.
Different,
I'm ready.
Different day, different podcast.
Oh, 100%. But watch True Detective season 3. That was like that. I loved it so much. That'll make you think.
All right. Okay. Anyways,
should we get back to Death Stranding?
well, we should get back to a lot of the news that was announced this week.
Yes. Okay. Starting with, let's do Microsoft bringing Xbox Game Pass to the PC with over 100 titles. Microsoft announced today that it's bringing its popular console and game subscription service, Xbox Game Pass, to Windows. This is bigger than just the formal recognition that some of the included Xbox game and Game Pass can already be played on the PC. Right now, any PC game that's a part of the Game Pass can be played on either Xbox or Windows, thanks to the company's Play Anywhere initiative, but the majority of those titles are Microsoft-published games like Forza Horizon 4 and Gears of War 4. Instead, Microsoft says it's launching a whole new version of the subscription for Windows computers with over 100 games for more than 75 developers to start. Right now, fewer than 20 games available through Xbox Game Pass can be played on PC, one of those being Sea of Thieves. Meaning Microsoft has signed a dozen of new developers to bring new titles to this version of the service. So what are your initial thoughts on that, Cole, because you're the PC guy here?
Oh, man, I love it. I think it's going to be so much better than we actually even think about it now. Like, there'll be a few hiccups and bumps on the way, but once they get this off the ground, I think it's going to be huge for so many reasons, like cross-compatibility to, like, or cross-platforms, like being able to play on Xbox or PC. And I mean, it's great if you don't want to spend $80 on a game. You know, you get the Game Pass and you try it out for a little bit, and then you don't have to try it anymore, and you can pick up something else and try something else. I mean, it's just like it's like Netflix for games. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah. So I just read this line here, because my next question was, is it going to cost additional money to the already Game Pass, or are they going to offer a bundle or what? But it says, we don't know which games will be made available, how much the subscription will cost compared to the $9.99 per month that Xbox owners currently pay, or when the service will go live. Microsoft says it's going to announce more than the PC-specified version of Game Pass at E3 early next month, so this must be an order. But the company did inform that it has developers like Sega, Metro Exodia's creator Deep Silver, Fallout and Elder Scrolls Studios Bethesda, Solaris creator Paradox Interactive, and venerated indie publisher Devolver Digital on board. So that kind of concerns me, because I play games both on Xbox and on PC. I switch back and forth. So if I have to pay $60 per year of Xbox Gold, plus another $10 a month for Game Pass on Xbox, and then another $10 a month for the PC Game Pass, like, that's kind of getting a little out of hand.
I think they'd have a bundled deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably would. Like, you can get them all grouped in together. But,
like, look, they've already announced they're grouping Xbox Live and Game Pass together.
Yeah. So I'm sure it's going to be a big old bundle.
And it's 93% off right now. It's a dollar for Game Pass.
Oh, really? Well, that's usually just for the first month or so, like your trial period.
Oh, 7 days left, it's 92% off.
Shit, okay.
Yeah, well, there's a deal.
I got my 3 months for $20.
Yeah. Now, speaking, though, of PC Game Pass, this is the perfect time for Microsoft to go back and announce some of their older PC games, like bring back Age of Empires.
Oh, they renewed Age of Empires.
That's what I mean. They renewed the license, so I wouldn't be surprised to see that we have a brand new Age of Empires announced at E3 that'll be coming to PC Game Pass.
I mean, Age of Empires 1 and Age of Empires 2, Conquerors, and all of that was so good, and then 3 was just, like, awful. So
3
I really
was
hope...
rushed. It was it wasn't developed properly.
Yeah, I just hope if they do a new Age of Empires, it's good. And I found that once you kind of, like, figured out the system in Age of Empires, you just played it the same way over and over again. And that was my problem with, like, playing StarCraft as well, and some of these other strategy games, where, like, you just figure out one cheese strategy or something, and then you just play that. Or it's like, I don't know, I hope they find another, like, relaxed way to play it, or, like, a way to balance it. So as a strategy game lover, I love strategy games.
Yeah. Going off of what Microsoft also said, Phil Spencer earlier this week on Twitter announced, just finishing our final E3 rehearsal here with the team in Redmond. Feel really good about the briefing. Lots to show. We have 14 Xbox Game Studio games in the show this year. More first-party games than we've ever had in one show.
Wow.
Well, it's hard to not be the fucking number one spot at this year's E3 when Nintendo and PS aren't even fucking contributing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think Microsoft, if they actually do a 14 actual first-party titles, that's something to be excited for.
That's the
one thing that's always been hurting Microsoft lately compared to Sony and Nintendo, is they don't have first-party games.
Yeah, well, that and they don't release good quality first-party games. You know, like Halo 5 was shit, and that's like their flagship fucking series.
Yeah.
I haven't played any of the Gears yet. It is definitely on my bucket list, so don't fucking shame me for it. It's gonna happen.
You haven't played any Gears?
I haven't played any Gears. I have the first one downloaded, and it's on my Xbox, so it's ready to go.
Oh, crap. I've played every Gears. Every single Gears. Gears 1 was, like, one of the games that, like, made me a gamer. Like, going to my cousin's house, and he had an Xbox, and I didn't, and we'd play Gears, and I was just like, this is the quality of video games that you can get. Blew my mind.
Yeah. So, yeah, I will play Gears, because I've been hearing nothing but good things about Gears.
I'll play with you. You have to beat every single campaign mission in cooperative to get, like, all the achievements and everything. So, if you play it, I'll take along.
Shit, okay, yeah, I'm down. You have an Xbox, right?
Yeah, I have an Xbox, okay. And I have I've got, like, the original Xbox, you mean, right?
Yeah. Like, no, I'm talking about, like, Xbox One.
For Game Pass.
Yes.
Copy.
Oh, yeah. You mean Gears 1?
Gears 1.
Yes, I have Gears 1.
Copy that.
Yes, right. I have. I've got it all. I can play it all with you.
I know one person I wouldn't be able to play it with because it's old school graphics.
Mark.
Oh, I wasn't going to say his name. I don't want to piss on Mark.
We love him. I love Mark to death. I want to hug him right now.
We got to have Mark on one more podcast so that he can literally... We'll be like, Mark, just say the worst thing you possibly can to me.
The Markpocalypse podcast. Yes. I want Mark to come back and just create the Markpocalypse for everyone to see.
You know what's funny, though? Is we'll be talking... Like, we're talking about Xbox and shit like this. And then it'll go quiet for a sec. And then Mark will be like, so going back to PlayStation... And he just fucking pulls it all back to PlayStation because PlayStation's daddy.
Yeah, I know. That's what he says, too.
But you need it, man. You need it. Like, I love that. Like, that's one of my favorite things. Like, having the villain, having the guy with an opinion that's different than your own, like, that's what makes it interesting. If you got a podcast where everybody just sits around and agrees with each other, like, that's so boring. The fact that you can have the one guy to say, and go against the flow, I mean, that's what makes it interesting because not everybody has the same opinion. So, there you go, Mark. Suck it. I defended you. And... Now you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. We should keep going, though, because we have a couple more announcements before we get to talking about a weird announcement from the developers of Pokemon.
Yes.
I don't know anything about it. Yeah.
So we'll leave that for the last thing. But moving on, we have Square Enix is going to officially reveal the Avengers game.
I'm looking for a Avengers Battle Royale.
Oh, please!
Apparently, it's a campaign.
I was kind of joking, but yeah, no.
I know.
Yeah,
but could you imagine a full superhero Marvel DC team up?
Like it would be like Apex, but the heroes are all Avengers. That'd be fucking kind of dope, to be honest.
It would be. But I don't know if they'd ever do something like that because you'd be killing so many people.
And that's
I'm
the third.
Pull a mark and have that bad opinion. I never played Apex.
I don't know if you noticed, Will, but that was the third time I've ever said dope on this podcast.
Yeah, you don't really smoke it either.
Oh yeah.
No, I said the word dope, and I'm not counting this one twice in the JP Music podcast, and now once in this one.
Yeah. Moving on again, we have a new Darksiders is confirmed to be announced at E3.
Nice. I'm so glad. I love Darksiders.
Yeah,
Darksiders was a really interesting game. I like how they keep using a different protagonist on each one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the four Horsemen of Apocalypse. Yeah.
This is an older game, but it's, well, not too old. I guess it's 360 PS2, PS3 days, but Ghostbusters, the video game, is being remastered. Yeah.
It's funny how it's remastered, but it still looks terrible. But I mean, it's still, you know, but it still looks like it's going to be good. But I mean, the graphics don't look great.
Does it look like, I haven't actually watched the trailer for it yet. Does it look like it's just ripped from the VHS of the actual movie.
That's the whole trailer, is like them on TV doing their commercial, like, the, do you have paranormal problems?
It's really bad, but it's still going to be a kind of a fun game to play. I just hope they don't charge like $70-$80 for it.
It'll
be busting your wallet.
Another announcement is Detective Pikachu sequel is coming to the Nintendo Switch.
Poorly timed, might I add. They should have timed it with the release of this movie.
Hey man, movies and games, you can't time this stuff out.
Speaking of that, have you, Cole, because you weren't on this podcast, did you see the Detective Pikachu movie?
I did see the Detective Pikachu movie.
And?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. It was definitely a kids movie. Like, I mean, I called it from like very early on what was going to happen. But I still enjoyed it. And I think, oh man, this is going to send me off on a rabbit trail. But I think they've unlocked something really cool, like with this style of animation. And I think starting with the Detective Pikachu, they could do some really cool stuff with live action, like movies within the Pokemon universe. Like, I don't think they should go like full cinematic universe like Marvel or Star Wars or anything, but I think you could do some really cool stuff, even just the battle sequences, like Blastoise and Gengar going at it in that underground pit. Like, I mean, that had me pretty hyped. So I think if they were smart, they could really build something cool out of what they've done with Detective Pikachu. And it was a good movie.
I talked with Will about this. I don't even think I said this on the air before. I think, yeah, Detective Pikachu was the best possible choice in movie. We were fucking ripping on this a year ago when we started this podcast because we thought it'd be just shit. But, I mean, it was the perfect blend of Pokemon battling. There was one capture scene, which actually, that was my least favorite part of the movie, was that capture scene. It was kind of poorly shot. Yeah. So it just introduced us to what Pokemon could look like live action, and I thought they did a really good job. I think the next one, an idea they could do, and I'm trademarking this, so if you guys make it, I want fucking money. that they follow one of the champions from the games, like say like the dude from Black and White 2, whatever his fucking name was. He has 8 badges. He's defeated the Elite Four, and now he's a champion. And they're following him, and he's going to the Champion League, and it's like the champions from every fucking region that are just there. And it's just this huge fucking battle sequence. Like,
that'd be cool. That would be cool to do something to build to. Like, I feel like you're starting pretty, you're putting the bar pretty high. I feel like that could be a cool something to build up.
Yeah, like, that could be a TV show. Like, that's episodic.
Yeah, but I think it would also be weird to, like, the technology they have, I don't think it would work too well with a TV show because of how quick TV shows have to be. So I think, like, I don't want to say that they should do a cinematic Pokemon universe, but I mean, that would be an interesting...
They just can't fuck it up. Like, I feel like the Pokemon company was very involved in that movie, and that's why...
And yeah, that needs to happen.
Yeah.
You need those. They were. Apparently, they didn't even like the Lickitung scene.
Oh, on the train? When he's like, whose Lickitung is this?
Yeah.
That was really funny. I like that a lot.
I thought the Mr. Mime scene was my favorite, for sure.
Yeah, the Mr. Mime scene was dope. I mean, I love the use of Pokemon. It's such a minor complaint, but I feel like in the big wide shots, we did see a lot of the same Pokemon over and over again. There was like 1,000 Growliths. I mean, I love Growlithe. Like, Growlithe is one of my, or Growlithe and Arcanine.
Yeah.
That's like one of my favorite Pokemon, but like everybody had a Growlithe, and that kind of takes away something a little bit for me because, you know, it's cool. Like when everybody's like, oh, wow, you have this Pokemon. And I'd be like, if I had an Arcanine, it'd be super cool. But I was like, everybody has one.
Yeah.
So that killed me a little bit inside. I was like, no.
We brought this up in the podcast where we talked about this movie, but they only had 51 different types of Pokemon in that movie.
Yeah. You can tell kind of near the end when they rehash it, especially in the scene when he's fighting. Oh, spoilers. Spoilers, everybody. Close your ears. Plug your ears.
Just stop. Yeah, stop us and come back in like 10 seconds.
Yeah, when he's fighting Ditto, and the only thing that Ditto changes into is Pokemon you've already seen. I was kind of like, oh, man, that was an opportunity to do something, like, cool, but they kind of wasted it with, like, there's the Loudar again, and there's, like, you know, there's the Bulbasaur or whatever. He just evolved into the same ones there.
My favorite thing is that when it transformed into the person, it still had the Ditto eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah.
Anyways, so moving away from shit we've already talked about in this show, not like we don't talk about fucking Sea of Thieves on every podcast, so we're... Yeah. Anyways, new thing coming out called Pokemon Sleep. Pokemon is getting a new cloud service and a game where you play by sleeping. What the fuck is the point?
Pokemon Sleep. Okay, I just typed in sleep on Google rather than Pokemon sleep. I don't know what sleeping is.
I think you Pokemon need to go to bed sleep. Soon. So an event billed as a preview of the future of Pokemon. Today, the Pokemon Company revealed a slate of new experiences, including a robust new cloud service and plan to turn sleeping into environment. To start, there's a new game launching in 2020 called Pokemon Sleep, where your sleep will impact gameplay. The goal, according to the company, is to give players a reason to look forward to waking up in the morning. The fuck?
That seems like there's, like, suicide's a big issue.
What if they prevent suicide? Pokemon Company goes to eradicate depression.
Yeah, we're going to give you a reason to want to wake up.
Entertainment.
This is going to turn into a sleep deprivation issue. Like, I can't wait to wake up in an hour. The company is also partnered with Nintendo on a new sleep track device called the Pokemon Go Plus. Not plus plus. It says plus, and then it has the actual plus sign.
Yeah, but it's still plus plus.
Plus plus.
Yeah,
I know, but
everything says plus.
But
plus.
That's almost like Pokemon Go Plus 2, but it's like Pokemon Go Plus plus.
They should have just put. Oh, never mind. I'm gonna lose it.
I'll tell you right now, my wife is gonna be so pissed at me when I get Pokemon Sleep, because you know I'm gonna get it. And she's going to be like, you're going to throw the thing in the garbage. And I'll be like, yes, honey. And then I will sleep with it right next to my heart.
Yeah, you know the problem is, though, Cole, you don't get enough sleep once you're working.
Actually, I'm pretty good at getting sleep. I mean, when the hours get long, I go to home and I go to bed, even though it kills me and I need to unwind a little bit. But I go to sleep, so
I don't get
better at it.
That was a good thing.
Do you go to sleep?
Even when I'm an ALM, I work longer hours than when I was a TAD. But when I did what Cole does... I was able to come home and go to sleep right away because you're on your feet all day.
Or just pass out on the couch.
Yeah, you're exerting yourself mentally and physically all day for 16 hours, so it's really easy to come home and go to sleep.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You just get home and you just have absolutely nothing left. You don't even have the ability to sit down and like watch an episode of a TV series. You just go home and you peel off your clothes and pass out, and then wake up and put off those peeled clothes on.
And then you wake up and you don't realize how sore your fucking legs are until Friday.
No, you wake up and you're stoked that Pokemon is there on your pillow, ready to go.
That's you all. Got 6 hours of deep sleep. We're going to reward you with...
Pokeballs. We're going to shove a bunch of balls in your mouth.
The cloud service is called Pokemon Home, and it lets users gather all of their captured monsters from various games in one place. It's launching in early 2020 for iOS, Android, and the Switch, and will connect to a large range of modern Pokemon titles, including Pokemon Go, Pokemon Let's Go, the upcoming Sword and Shield, and the previous 3DS cloud platform Pokemon Bank. You'll be able to use it not only to manage your caught Pokemon, but trade as well.
Perfect. I've been talking so much about, like, when I play Pokemon Go, there's a buddy of mine that I play with, and we talk about how broken the trading system is, because we'll just catch a bunch of Pokemon and trade them, and there needs to be, like, a trade box or something in Pokemon Go that you can, like, separate your Pokemon into, which they don't have. So if this comes out with, like, an updated trading system, I'm in. I'm down. Because I want my luckies. I want my lucky Pokemon. Oh, I'm going to find a place to post my friend thing, and then everybody listening to the podcast can add me as a friend on Pokemon Go.
I think you hit a peak, or a max on Pokemon Go where you need to stop adding friends, because you just literally don't have enough fucking gifts to give.
Yeah. Well, I stopped giving gifts to my best friends, and I mean, I am 2 days away from my next best friend, 3 days away from my next one, then I'm like 12 days away from my next one, and I'm just going down the list. Like, I mean, I have like 25 friends right now, and I'm just like, the second I get one, I'm only a few days from my next one.
I'm your best friend, and you don't send me gifts. Or you still send me gifts?
Oh, I mean, sometimes you do. Like, I mean, if I've sent a gift to everybody through... I mean, if you have... You can only have 10 gifts in your inventory. If I send out those 10, and then I go for a walk, and I get hit 10 Pokestops, and I send out those 10, then I hit 10 more Pokestops, and I hit send out those 10.
Wow, must be nice.
Man, I got a system down, man. Ooh, get ready for legendary raid hours every Wednesday in June. And there's a Bulbasaur. Sorry, I just whipped out my Pokemon Go.
Oh, fuck, I didn't get my Pokestop today, and now my streak's fucked. Shit. All right,
that's weak.
I have an actual, like, challenge to get 7 Pokestops in days in a row.
Oh, yeah,
for you still have, like, you still have 2 hours, so you might as well get in the car and start driving.
Yeah, fuck, okay. Also revealed...
Tell your wife you're going to Dairy Queen.
That will not go over well. That's a fucking bad idea, Will. I'll be like, I'm going to Dairy Queen, and be like, get me an ice cream cone. And then I'll be like, no. I'm going to get... PokeStop. Then she'd be like, I'm getting in the car too. Be like, fuck, okay. Anyways, also revealed was the new version of Detective Pikachu, which we talked about earlier. So that doesn't matter. The details of this game are still a mystery, the company says. Meanwhile, the franchise is also expanding into China with its first official release in the country. A new version of the free-to-play RPG Pokemon Quest launched in partnership with Chinese internet giant NetEase. NetEase. That's a fucking shitty company name. NetEase.
Well, dude, the one thing, like, countries in Asia, like, I have one of my best friends is from Korea, and I mean, in Korea, when you go there, it's like, the internet is just everywhere. Like, everybody just has unlimited data everywhere you go. And they spent, like, billions of dollars on their internet in the city of Seoul. So, I mean, it's just like, you just got it everywhere you go.
Well, I just saw a thing on the news that China has, like, the public square by, like, not City Hall, but whatever the equivalent in China is, they have the most cameras, like public cameras, in the world in that square.
That's hot.
Like, you literally can't wipe your own ass without getting fucking photographed down there.
Communism.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
Additionally, we also got details on the next mobile game in the series created in partnership with Dina. It's called Pokemon Masters. It'll include many of the most noble trainers featured in past mainline Pokemon games and is expected to launch later this year. This better excite the shit out of me, because I'm looking at the art for it, and yeah, it's got red, we got Pokemon Champion Steven, we got, what's that stupid chick's name from Black and White 2, it starts with a B?
Bianca?
No, that's Generation 4. It's Generation 5. I can't remember her name, but I don't like her name. Anyways. And then we have Cynthia, we have Lance, we got Brock's in here for some reason. I thought these were Pokemon Masters, not gym leaders. Anyways, yeah. So, that looks interesting.
Oh, yeah, I see it here. Now I just found the picture. There's Brock. He looks so tiny compared to everybody else riding his massive Onix, but...
Yeah. And, so next week on the podcast here, we're gonna be talking about the Pokemon Sword and Shield news, which is gonna release literally probably minutes after this fucking podcast gets listened to. Which is unfortunate, but, we'll be releasing an article and throwing it on our website, videogamesnow.ca, so check that out. And, yeah, so anything else you guys want to add before we, sign off and go to bed?
No.
We're a week away from E3.
It's gonna be fucking good. So, we're talking about possibly doing two podcasts next week just to get all the E3 shit out of the way while it's fresh. And, so next Sunday we'll be recording, probably Sunday night, and we're going to talk about the Pokemon Sword and Shield news and then, about the Microsoft, press conference that came out. It'll be, what time is it? Is it 1 p.m. Eastern?
I can't remember. We'll, post all the, times for the conferences on the website.
We will do that.
So, the only thing that's going to be fresher than our info coming at you is the Mark memes.
The Mark memes.
The Mark memes. We got to start Mark memes where we just bash on Mark.
Mark, when Mark games and drinks, he literally spits about 4 football fields per Fahrenheit. It's fucking disgusting.
Suff with fuckatash.
1 second. Okay. All right. So thanks a lot, guys, for listening. Definitely go to our website, videogamesnow.ca. You can find all our shit on there. And that was the best plug ever, right there. check us out on our social media pages, Facebook, and if you use Twitter, I guess use it and look us up, because there's the only guy that has commented on our Twitter was a guy bashing Mark. So I think he's listening right now, and he's going, "Thank fucking God that guy's gone." Anyways, so thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you on the next one. Bye bye.
See you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.